Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hour 5, G-Mag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. A little sports hodgepodge with the Chief coming up here in about 20 minutes. Right now, Chuck Wagon on a Mike McCarthy is Dunsky Cowboys Monday here on The Fan. Well, Chuck, how you holding up, buddy?
I'm doing okay. I don't know. Just a given state of the Cowboys right now, it is very, very difficult to show a lot of optimism. I mean, the names that we're throwing out there, they're not names that I think anybody should be super pumped about. The Aaron Glenn one aside, I can get excited about Aaron Glenn and the possibility of maybe him stealing some offensive mind from that Lions staff that doesn't go with Ben Johnson. Like, Kellen Moore does not excite me. Okay, Jason Witten, that's not exciting. Maybe if they did the Witten thing, they get lucky like they did with Romo and Dak. But that's really the only hope that I can get around with that. Otherwise, I don't know. Like Sark, that'd be an interesting one. I don't doubt Sark is capable of juggling all that comes with being the Dallas Cowboys head coach. But I think if you ask Texas fans, one, they'd be ticked about it. But two, they also would point out some in-game mismanagement. And certainly the red zone is an issue with Sark as an offensive play caller as well. Texas has been bad in the red zone all season long. And I don't know that it's just a quarterback problem. I think that's been an issue for some of his offenses. But this is one where let's throw out what Jimmy said yesterday. Now, obviously, we're not doing trade for trade. But if said coach became available, I think maybe there would be an open mind to a swap here, even if it's not technically coach for coach. Here was Jimmy on the pregame on Fox yesterday.
Yeah, Terry, now I've got no inside information, but, you know, things are stale in Pittsburgh. Things are stale in Dallas. And just food for thought. How about a coaching swap? Mike McCarthy's a Pittsburgh guy. Let him go to Pittsburgh. Let Mike Tomlin go to Dallas. Both franchises would be excited.
But then the only problem is, I mean, you said they're both stale, but one continues to make the playoffs and the other one doesn't. That's not stale.
Hey, I'll tell you,
one's having more success.
It's true. Now, Pittsburgh said today Mike Tomlin's not going anywhere. This would take either the Cowboys are calling Pittsburgh and trying to trade for him, or indeed they would let him go, and maybe Pittsburgh looks at Mike McCarthy, who is a Pittsburgh guy. He's sure open about that, and think, hey, maybe Mike McCarthy would be an upgrade here. Maybe both sides just need a change. I was very interested when he said this. Obviously, it was before we knew Mike wasn't coming back, so maybe like an actual coach swap, even though it's unprecedented. I don't know if that's even possible. But Mike Tomlin, I would be very interested as the Dallas Cowboys head coach if that had any legs to it whatsoever.
Yeah, I would love to see what he could do here. You know, you could do much worse than a guy with a proven track record of, you know, helping build teams and put them over 500. I'm in a spot here where I thought Mike McCarthy was better than any coach they would most likely hire, especially if you look at everybody they've hired besides Jimmy and Bill Parcells. So I was sort of happy with Mike McCarthy because I could at least see it. You know, going into this unknown world, to me, there's like less than a 5% chance that they come up with somebody better than Mike McCarthy, and I can be excited about that. But really, the only reason to be excited is for change and hope.
Yeah.
You know, that they do find that transcendent leader who can explain to the front office exactly why we need a team build in this way and why you need to leave me alone so I can instill discipline and accountability with these guys. You know, Jerry Jones' ego is so massive, he wants to essentially take the head coach's, you know, role of determining who's on the team and who's not on the team and discipline and who's playing and who's not playing, you know, without having to go through any of the daily grind of being a head coach.
Yeah, without just naming himself.
Yeah.
Just name yourself.
I don't know if Tomlin would go for that, you know.
I don't think it would either. I think Mike Tomlin pretty much runs everything there in Pittsburgh. He's not going to have that same ability here. I know we have a lot of pushback from a ton of Cowboy fans that wonder, like, would Jerry actually hire a black head coach? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know that he wouldn't, but he hasn't done it. So until it happens, I know there's a lot of people that constantly text in, even when we're having the conversation about Aaron Glenn, that are like, I'll believe it when I see it. I don't know if that is something that crosses his mind and he's like, I'm not going to hire that man. But Tomlin, to me, it's not the same. Like somebody texted in, that's the same as what you just said. It's not. What Mike Tomlin's done in Pittsburgh is find ways to constantly have that team with a winning record that honestly probably shouldn't be a 5 or 6 win football team. He's winning games with guys like Duck Hodges at quarterback, Mason Rudolph. He's finding ways to get to the playoffs. I understand they have not won a playoff game since 2016, and there's something to be said there, right? But it's also like, all right, you've got Dak Prescott, who is without a doubt better than anybody he's had since Ben Roethlisberger. In fact, probably better than the end of Ben Roethlisberger's career. I'd love to see what he could do here, because I have no doubt the team's never going to underachieve under Tomlin. If anything, he's going to get everyone around Dak to overachieve. Is that enough to finally go ahead and put them over the top? Now, the offensive coordinator stuff, it's perfect. Jerry can hire the OC. Tomlin's not good at hiring offensive coordinators. Let Jerry do what he wants. Let him put Jason Witten there as the offensive coordinator if he wants to. Screw it. Tomlin might not like it. I don't think that this realistically works, but I'd be all about Mike Tomlin here.
Well, I hope I'm right. I do feel like Jerry would hire a black coach if everything was lined up perfectly. But I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I know the kid in that picture back in Little Rock, Arkansas wouldn't. And I don't know how much a leopard changes his spots over the course of his lifetime. But, I mean, the track record, I don't know that he's ever seriously considered doing it. So, you know, maybe that should, you know, be the thing that most dictates my opinion. But I feel like, you know, he's hired black assistant coaches. He's obviously in the football business. And, you know, if the right candidate was out there, you know, and this guy was going to be super loyal to Jerry Jones, you know, then, yeah, I mean, you have tons of black employees across your organization. I don't know why you would look at a head coach that differently if you're Jerry Jones, but I can't put myself in his brain.
Yeah, and look, 2-4. Yeah, Mike McCarthy won with Cooper Rush. I agree. I hear you. But Mike McCarthy's not here anymore. And Mike McCarthy also had their offense consistently failing in the postseason when you needed them to perform. So a change might be perfect for both parties. Now I'll tell you this.
I don't think he'd hire Dion, because Dion is the kind of guy that would speak his mind. Mm-hmm. And if an issue came up socially, Dion would blast mm-hmm. out his strong take on it. Right? He would stand on the principle of it. You know.
Yeah. So and I'd say buy more into the Dion stuff if Dion hadn't come out himself and said, I really just want to coach my sons. And at 12 and having signed Dak, there's no way you're getting Shador Sanders. So I just don't see Dion as being a realistic
option. I hope he'd hire Dion if he said, I will refuse to let Shador play for anybody but the Cowboys. Go ahead and hire me, and Shador's holding out until 12. I would hope that opportunity would be too good to pass up.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be realistic if you didn't have Dak under contract right now. You could at least speak it into yeah. some realm of realistic possibility. But
we're 2 years away from anything resembling an out on that contract, right?
Yeah, yeah. From my understanding,
it's gonna be tough. You can't.
I mean, draft and develop. Still, that would be the best thing you could do with that 12th pick, even yeah. if you have to wait a couple of years. I mean, the Chiefs waited for Mahomes.
They did. Now, speaking of Washington, like, here's a team that completely flipped in just a year, and it helps when you find the quarterback. That might be the most important thing. Magic Johnson has been a minority owner of the Commanders, along with Josh Harris, who helped buy that, also an owner in the NBA. And here was them post-game last night, and this is a very, very different type of conversation than what we're having here in Dallas.
This man right here. No, this is serious. You said, what does it take? New vision, new owner with a strategy, picking the right people. First, our coach, Coach Quinn, Adam Peters, and then we all step out the way and let them do their job.
Talent, culture, and people.
There it is.
Talent, culture, and people.
So that's it. Don't make this about us. It's about those guys.
Yeah. Well, Matt, did you envision it happening this fast, 2 years?
Quarterback.
How could you?
Got to get him quarterback.
We'll see you guys in Detroit. It's going
to
be cool.
Make it about those guys.
And ultimately, it all comes down to the quarterback. But the one thing that he said there was step aside, let them do their jobs. I just think that comes back to right now being like the number one thing. You know, there's been a lot of good things that Jerry's done. It's not to say like it's all bad. There's been a lot of good. But at this point, it's just let your coaches do their jobs. Let the scouting department and Will McClay do their jobs. Like, just, you've hired people, trust them to do so. You don't have to have a hand in everything and be so just hell-bent on being the one who gets all the credit as being the dude who finally did this his way.
Okay, I want to challenge you a little bit on that, Woolchuck. Okay, I don't want to fight, but okay. I do think there's at least four things here that are wrong with this organization that I would love the next head coach to fix.
Okay.
And the culture of not letting coaches do their job is a big one. That's going to be incumbent upon that coach to manage up, to figure out a way to tell the Joneses, I need to be able to do what I do for the best of this. But I think finding a stud quarterback is bigger. Right, Romo and Dak aren't as good as what Jaden Daniels is going to be, what Patrick Mahomes is going to be, what Tom Brady was. The guys that are winning the majority of the championships have that Hall of Fame quarterback. Your salary cap management is so god-awful. They're trying to make the playoffs every year instead of go for it a couple of years and then rebuild for a couple of years. I think the coaching quality, right, of finding the right coaches who can give you a dynamic game plan and ability to call plays. You know, those three things I think might even be bigger than the bad culture that you create by not letting coaches do their job, because they've still managed to have a tremendous amount of success. You know, it's the difference making quarterbacks, game plans, a guy like an Andy Reid, a guy like a Bill Belichick, you know, and then for me, a lot of it's going to come back to salary cap management. You have to target a couple of years per decade where you're absolutely full sending, push all in.
Yeah.
Unless you have Mahomes or Brady and you can rebuild while winning championships, everybody else has to sort of ride that pendulum.
And I'm with you, and I guess it's who's responsible for all of that. And there's at least one person who says that he is. Now, Mike Sando in his pick six today had an interesting part of his article. And he was talking about the hiring process. He said, for teams that are chasing the hot offensive coordinators, don't fool yourselves. Now, his whole point here, and I guess this really just comes back to the quarterbacks to me. That's what I got out of it. But he said, to illustrate, let's take a quick look at the head coaches for the top five offenses by expected points added per play this season. So you had John Harbaugh of the Ravens, never called offensive plays. Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills, McDermott never called offensive plays. Then there's Dan Campbell, who was more of a position coach, never really was a primary play caller. Todd Bowles, never called plays. Dan Quinn, never called plays, right? But what is something that they all have? And that is a quarterback. You look at the bottom five teams, EPA, Stefanski in Cleveland, two-time NFL Coach of the Year, veteran play caller, but no quarterback. Antonio Pierce, no quarterback. Brian Callahan, offensive guy, but clearly doesn't have a quarterback. Brian Daboll of the Giants, also their own fault, but no quarterback, offensive guy. And then we just saw what happened with Jerod Mayo. So with this, it might be less of like, okay, unless you do get the head coach, it's also the play caller that works out, which I think is proven when you look across the league. There's a very select few of those dudes right now. McVay, O'Connell, Shanahan. I'm trying to think of who else would even fit that category, but it's more probably about the staff, right? Can you find the right offensive coordinator underneath that head coach? Because the top five guys outside of Campbell, they're all defensive dudes. And then Harbaugh, who's a special teams guy, they just identified the right dude to come in and call the plays for them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it can be a balance of the two, right? If you're going to get a defensive coach, just make sure they've got the right plan to bring in the right offensive guy. That kind of seems like that might be the formula that's worked well. Sure has for D'Amico Ryans, although he might have to go back to the drawing board with Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, you know, and I think you need to make trades and free agent additions where you miss in the draft. Like the Texans pointing out, they've had some big misses in the trenches, whether it's Taco or Tristan Hill or, you know, maybe Tyler Guyton is one. You know, I don't know exactly, but the trench play hasn't been great. So, you know, if you are going to target a championship, when you miss on spots where you know you had a hole, and that's why you wrote it down in round one, we are taking an edge. When you miss on that, if you want to win big in 2021 or 2022, when you're going up against the 49ers, you better go out there like the Rams, Buccaneers, and Eagles do and say, who's the best player we can get at this position? And, you know, to hell with the future of the salary cap, we need to get this done right now, because nobody's going to draft perfect, mm-hmm. right? The right. Cowboys and Eagles have drafted about the same over the last decade, had some big hits, sometimes some misses. The difference is Howie Roseman finds ways to patch those holes. Sure. As Jared Sandler steps in studio with us now here in the G-Bag Nation on your home of the 2023 World Series champion Texas Rangers. And the Hot Stove Show kicking off tonight, Sands. It's been amazing. Since I walked in just after noon today, there's been a big line downstairs. I can't imagine the scene right now. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, it's great. Great seeing you guys. Can we add something to the Blake Elliott comment? Do we have like a name for the dumb stuff that he says or asks?
Blake it or leave it?
Blake mistake. I think he asked me. I don't know if he can hear or not. No, I don't think he can.
He's thinking hard about something.
Thinking really hard about something. I do not want to know what's going on. Dinner?
He's squinting.
He asked me, so that the show is in the showroom, right? Downstairs. Mm-hmm. So when you come to the building in which we are all currently occupying, which we, and Blake has probably been to over 100 times, all of us combined, probably over like 20,000 times. I don't know.
Yeah.
The showroom is located on the first floor. You might not know where the showroom is, but you sure as heck know that the showroom is not up here on the 11th floor where we go every single day, right?
No. Yeah.
I think Blake asked me, and I'm still trying to process the question, is the show you're doing in the showroom downstairs? And I was like, yeah, that's the showroom's downstairs. So you're going to be in the showroom. I said, well, that's where the show is. He's like, okay, I just wasn't sure. Yeah. But, like, I just don't, like...
That's a guy who's detail-oriented. He wants to make sure that he's not stepping out on any limbs before he knows that thing's strong.
Yeah, are you guys going to be up on the 11th floor tomorrow, or are you guys on remote? You're probably on remote tomorrow.
No, we'll be up on the 11th floor tomorrow.
Like, will one of you be on, like, the 7th floor, and then, like, the other one, like... Brock, are you going to be in Baton Rouge tomorrow for the show?
I was thinking, man, the 10th floor looks nice when you go down there.
Is there
I went down there and grabbed some tea for Dawson. And
oh, they have tea down there.
Yeah, and so and then, like, you know, and so I'm like, man, they've got a setup down there. Yeah. Where I was kind of jealous. You know, walking around, it was really nice.
This bathroom is a good idea, though. Nobody's on the 10th floor usually.
Yeah, the 11th floor bathrooms are not where you want to go.
No. We do know Roki Sasaki is not going to be any part of this station or showroom anytime.
Yeah, he's not going to be on Hot Stuff tonight. No.
Okay.
But
you have Marcus Semien.
Marcus Semien, Cody Bradford, the World Series trophy.
Man, let's go.
Right? We'll have some giveaways. We'll do some trivia in between. And because the line was so long and it extends into our parking garage, they are extending the autograph portion of the evening. So instead of Cody and Marcus signing from 6:30 to 7, they're going to go through 7:15. So that first segment, we're going to do a live Q&A. Let some of the Rangers fans... ask some questions. Well, I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about Roki. Should be fun.
Rangers fans are amazing. I mean, whether it's the toy drive or Sandler swinging for a cause or this event right here, it never ceases to surprise me their passion and commitment to following and you know, being involved with this baseball team. One baseball question for you, Sans. Do we need a closer before spring training?
Yes, I think so. I'd like one. Okay. Can you figure it out along the way? Sure, but I don't think you want to. And
Are there candidates out there?
Do you want to run it back with Kirby Yates?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've talked to you guys about this. The Rangers have not had the same closer for back-to-back seasons since Joe Nathan, like, start and finish the year. They've obviously, like, had incumbents who lose the job in April or May because they don't.
Sam Dyson.
What's that?
Sam Dyson.
Sam Dyson, one of several, right? Sean Tolleson, another guy, you know, who. But I'd like Kirby Yates. I think the Tanner Scott four-year deal, that kind of scares me a little bit. So... Kirby Yates is not a sure thing. None of these guys are, but I'll take Kirby and run it back.
Kind of hearing, though, that there's teams that are very interested in him. The money not where he wants it, but they're ready for him to fall apart, and he hasn't fallen apart.
Right. And
that's the kind of the thing. Nobody knows how to gauge.
Yeah.
Like, is this the year we pay him?
And the bottom falls out.
And the bottom falls out. Waiting for the bottom to fall out, and he's got people that are interested in him. It's just they can't get the money to work.
He probably wants more than what they're willing to offer.
Let's be honest, he had one of the best years for a reliever in franchise history, right? There's an interesting trajectory, right? In a lot of sports, you get to your 30s, like 30, 31, 32. Okay, now we're going to start to see the abilities wane a little bit. But for pitchers, because so many of these guys spend their 20s hurt and not throwing, they don't necessarily follow that same bell curve. And so for Kirby Yates, his age and his workload don't match up because he had so many injuries early on. And so I think one side of it is, well, you're nearing 40. This is going to start to slow. The other side is there really isn't a lot of gas that's been used out of that tank. And so maybe you do have a few more years to buck the trend a little bit.
Love watching him pitch. Would love to have him back. Is there still room for people down there? I can't imagine, right? Is it to capacity?
I mean, I don't want to say, like, don't show up because I don't think that's, like, what we're supposed to say, but I'd say that if you're trying to get an autograph and you're not here, you're probably SOL. But you can join the show.
Still be an enchanted.
Live.
Okay, you still get there in there for that. Yes.
Couple of Tolos texts in trying to get that Jared Sandler Hancock. Are you going to be signed? You got a little Sharpie on there?
I would gladly, but I'm going to ruin the value. No one needs my autograph.
Lies.
But I would be happy to do it, but I'm just warning you that the value, like, you're going to start to have to owe money to the government if I sign.
I have heard negative value.
Yeah.
Jared Sandler, currently the best pasta maker in DFW, as he's come back from Italy.
You were taking notes there?
Can only be second best.
A true pasta maker.
That was awesome. I had a great time.
It looked delicious.
I love food.
Thank you, Sans.
See you guys.
He's glowing. At Jared Sandler on Twitter. If you want to know anything about the Texas Rangers, you must follow him. Okay, before too long, we'll be in spring training here and off and running on your home of the Rangers. Get some excitement going back in here with the DFW sports scene. Okay, coming up next, Chief, what do you have?
Schefter's got two names to potentially replace McCarthy, and let's prep our bodies for Rams-Vikings next in the nation.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back. G-Bag Nation. Rangers Hot Stove coming up here at the top of the hour with Sans. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Chief has a hodgepodge here in just a second. You guys see this Caitlin Clark stalker was from Denton?
Dude, yes.
Oh, no,
this is ridiculous.
Us, man.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Denton weirdo. 55-year-old Michael Thomas Lewis. He's been on a Twitter like DM rampage from December 16th through last week. And he was in Indianapolis, actually, and sending her messages, a series of vulgar, sexually charged messages to the WNBA's Rookie of the Year. And so they found him in Indianapolis and pressed him about the threatening messages and said, well, this is just an imaginary, like, fantasy type thing. And it's a joke, and it has nothing to do with threatening. But the laws, they disagreed. And apparently he's facing like up to 6 years in jail for this. Good. Police were able to trace him through an IP address linking him to the Hilton Garden Hotel on Market Street there downtown Indianapolis.
Yeah, that's right there.
In one post said he was driving around and in Indianapolis, and she was apparently had felt intimidated and terrorized and afraid for her safety, even going as far as altering her public appearance when she went out and about there just to because she was like, scared of this dude tracking her down.
Try to disguise herself a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh,
man.
That's
crazy.
It is, you know, and I guess you never know what's out there, but many celebrities deal with these kind of stalker situations from time to time. Here's the Chief with the sports hodgepodge.
Okay, one of the craziest takeaways from Wild Card Weekend, as pointed out by Nate Tice of Yahoo Sports, with a minute and 20 seconds remaining in the first quarter of Sunday's game, Eagles and Packers. Eagles have the football. It's a 2nd and 8, and it was Jalen Hurts' first career under center drop back pass that did not feature play action.
Wow.
The first time in Jalen Hurts' entire career that he went under center and just did a normal 3 or 5 or 7 step drop back. He is a shotgun quarterback, and he's action quarterback. This is with a minute and 20 seconds to go in the first quarter. Eagles up 7-0. It's a 2nd and 8. And he throws like a comeback route to Devontae Smith for a first down. And it has been alleged to be Jalen Hurts' very first career under center drop back pass that did not feature play action.
Just to sure you're not being butt cracked.
Yes, I am very confident in who Nate Tice is as a person.
Nate Tice, as a
football
very good
film junkie man. He's a great follow in every way, reading his stuff, following him on Twitter, listening to his podcast, whatever it is. So
that's the kind of innovation that Kellen Moore gets the big bucks for.
No doubt.
That is unbelievable, dude.
I wonder if this isn't how a lot of teams should run it the vast, vast majority of the time. Like,
yes,
not doing play action is a missed opportunity.
Right. They call it like the easy button stuff, and they have charts now to see who's doing the most easy button things as a play caller for their quarterback, the screens, the play action, and Jalen Hurts has clearly been that type of quarterback, but just crazy the idea that he had never had just a traditional drop back pass until yesterday from under center. That's ridiculous. Another takeaway was we were talking about Mike Evans versus Marshawn Lattimore, and I know Lattimore gets the last laugh because the Commanders won the game, but my goodness.
Fun, though.
Mike Evans was really having his way with Marshawn Lattimore yesterday.
Lattimore, and it might just be, hey, that hammy is hurting him.
But that's just
he hasn't looked like the same guy.
That's just what he's always dealing with. He's always dealing with a hamstring soft tissue situation. But Mike Evans was a monster yesterday in the Buccaneers' loss. You had Adam Schefter there on Monday Night Countdown, ESPN, in lead up to this Rams and Vikings game. He says, I think at some point in time, Cowboys will have some level of interest in Kellen Moore. And then he says, potentially, maybe Jason Witten. Those are the two names that Schefter's throwing out there right now. If you're looking for just tangible names and not just general speculation. So we had the Nick Harris Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He'll be on with Sean and RJ in the morning at 9 a.m. But he had a list of guys, and one of the things about Jason Witten was, whether it's Jason Witten as the head coach or not, many in the building believe that Jason Witten will be on this Cowboys coaching staff in some capacity as early as starting this offseason.
What do you think's proper for him here? I mean, OC is a lot of responsibility, isn't it? This is tight ends coach?
I would think tight ends coach. Maybe
assistant
he gets
head coach?
The title could be assistant head coach or running game coordinator, or I don't know, something like that. Maybe it's offensive coordinator, but he doesn't call the plays. We see that plenty around the league. So they can try and manufacture a title for him, but I think by and large, it's just some level of offensive assistant, mostly probably with the tight ends.
I mean, and if he and Kellen Moore got along well, I think that's a slam dunk. What, one of the kids graduated, is a senior. I think he's 18, and the younger Witten boy is 16 now. So I don't know. Depending on how good that kid is, I might want to let that go for a couple of more years. I mean, the Cowboy opportunity isn't going away anytime soon.
If
you're Witten. I would just imagine, like, schematically, offensive, the logistics, the protocols for, you know, coming up with game plans and everything. I'd want him in the building for at least a year or two before I made him a coordinator, and then possibly on to head coach if he's showing a strong acumen there.
469, what the bleep is wrong with Chief? Damn, you sound like bleep, dude. Ha ha, hope you feel better. I appreciate that, 469. It's been about a 9-day cold of sorts. Just the stuffiness, man. I can't get rid of it.
You sound like...
Okay, yeah.
I asked you guys that question about Kellen Moore and toughness. I wonder if that's something that's going to be talked about in the building. About Kellen Moore, leader of man, standing up there, how comfortable are you leading, all that stuff.
Okay. I'm not looking for toughness from Kellen, just some sort of a command, right? Some sort
That's
of leadership.
I'm saying, I wonder. That, yeah. I mean, the more I'm digging, I mean, I'm hearing a lot of things.
I mean,
but I just wonder about that, because there's like several people, because I keep talking about Kellen Moore, and people are bringing it up to me like, you just wonder how comfortable Kellen Moore is standing up in front. I mean, he's been here. The Joneses know him, of course. They know, they've seen him, how he's interacted with the team. You know,
nobody wants to make him a head coach.
Yeah.
Apparently a bad interviewer.
Yeah.
I think it's a perfect opportunity, though, if you want to find a coach that you're not going to be beholden to for a long time to help complete this Cowboys rebuild. Right. So you need to find a coach that you like that might have some potential, but who knows, you know, and after a year or two, there's a clear narrative for we got to let this guy go. Right now, you are looking for a bridge coach that you're going to be fine firing in a year or two before your rebuild and return to, you know, a salary cap is, you know, in a much better place. I feel strongly that teams don't want to name their next big time head coach when they still suck, because you take that job and the fan base does not believe in you because of how bad it was, and you're fighting an uphill battle from that point forward.
Well, one candidate that's off the market is, of course, Mike Vrabel. He lands back with the Patriots, and over the weekend, former Titans offensive lineman Taylor Lewan, who played for Mike Vrabel, just had some words of encouragement for the current Patriots players and what to expect with Vrabel coming to town. This is a two-parter. Here's part one. Taylor Lewan, take it away.
Good morning, boys. Happy Sunday. Beautiful Sunday. Sun shining outside. A lot of things to be positive about. New England Patriots fans, you have a lot to be excited about. Got Mike Vrabel in the building. Culture is going to be incredible. You guys are going to win games. Those tough, you know, one-score games, you're going to win them. That's how Mike Vrabel works. That guy is going to have his team knowing the ins and outs. Now, if you're a player, come here. You need to keep your head on a swivel, okay? You need to understand that shit is about to be really hard for a little bit, and it's going to be okay. But just know, you're about to go in hell for a little bit. You're going to be sitting there in the locker room. You're getting small groups. Who the fuck this guy? Why is he talking to us like this? Who does he think he is? Yeah, he played in the league, whatever. By the way, in the first team, he's going to tell you how many years he played in the league. And he's going to reference it forever. Not a bad thing. Boys, I'm telling you, it's going to work out. I was a part of it. I was in those small little groups at first. And then you start to get away from it and be like, yo, this dude knows what the f*** he's talking about. But keep your hole tight in those team meeting rooms. You've got to keep your hole tight because he's going to have guys stand up. Who's this guy? Who's that guy? People have more that are more prestigious in the topper tier players, especially if you're a rookie. If you're watching this and you're in the combine right now and you get drafted by the Patriots, congratulations, but also keep your f***ing head on a swivel.
Okay, so there is part one, just laying the groundwork for what to expect with Vrabel coming to town.
I believe it. You know, I think that's why the Titans had a tremendous amount of success, even though, you know, they had some holes on their roster. Passing game has never been good. You know, I if I'm a Patriots fan, I'm stoked to hear that. You know, you want players, if you're Vrabel, that are dialed in and locked and just as passionate about you as using every moment. We're not falling asleep here because I might call on you, right?
That's right. And that's right.
I'm going to ask you the details right here. And so all 70 guys or 100 guys at training camp in the room are going to be thinking, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to be on this guy's bad side. And I don't know if your tenure can be incredibly long. I think that's going to wear a lot of guys out. But over 3, 4, 5 year period, I think you can have a lot of success here. And it's unfortunate. I don't think the Cowboys would ever consider a guy like that.
No, not at all. They wouldn't.
Brian, you said about 5 minutes ago, you're hearing a lot of things. Is there anything else you want to share with us?
It's a clip, man.
No, I'm good. I'm gonna have a hopefully a good day for you tomorrow. How about that? I'm working on a lot of things. There's a couple of things I want to try and confirm here that people are telling me from other teams and stuff. So I just want to make sure I got it right before I get it out there.
Let's just remind the crowd, you're dropping the Richie B.
Yeah, the Rich Bisaccia. There was two or three guys in the league said, hey, listen, I wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys, because we've Tom Pelissero put out there, you know, some guys you're not talking about. Well, I asked a couple of guys, who could they be talking about? And two different guys in the league said, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if Rich Bisaccia didn't get an interview with you guys.
Boom.
So I just throwing it out there.
That's a guy they're familiar with. Yeah. All three phases, leader of men, did the interim head coach thing with the Raiders, actually did a nice job.
They like him a lot here.
He's in Green Bay now.
Yeah, there were a lot
of people surprised that he didn't get that Raider job full time.
Yep.
All right, we're getting set for kickoff here. Each of the Los Angeles Rams' last four playoff games have been decided by 3 or fewer points. Of course, they are 2.5-point dogs on what is supposed to be a home game for them, but is being played in the neutral site of Arizona. Even though, Walchuk, you said you saw a lot of purple in that building, huh?
There seemed to be a lot of Viking fans that have made the trip to Arizona for what is a home game for the Rams.
Yeah, that's the longest streak going right now of that many playoff games and them being that much of nail biters. And just a little nugget for you from Doug Kloss and Sam Darnold. He's making his playoff debut tonight, by the way.
Wow.
Which should make a ton of sense based on, you know, where he was playing majority of his career with the Jets. But do you guys know who the last quarterback was to win a Super Bowl in the same season as his first playoff start?
Kurt Warner.
It's a good guess.
Nick Foles.
Not Nick Foles. I guess because Nick Foles must have started one for, I don't even know, the Bears.
Say the question
again,
please.
That's a great pull, honestly, Nick Foles. According to Doug Clawson, the last person to win the Super Bowl the same season that he was making his playoff debut, like Sam Darnold never played in a playoff game before.
Brady?
If Sam Darnold goes on to win the Super Bowl, he would apparently be the first to do it since Tom Brady in 2001.
Yeah, okay.
There you go.
It's Brady?
Yeah.
No, it's not Brady.
It is. Yeah, it's Brady.
Okay,
yeah,
it's Brady.
Football guy of the day.
By the way, Bisaccia, 2011 through 2021 with the Chargers, the Cowboys, and then the Raiders, was also assistant head coach at the same time as special teams coordinator. Yeah. So a decade of running that. Of course, he had the Raiders finishing strong, 10-7 record and a playoff berth in 2021.
Are we not doing part two of that clip?
He took over for John Gruden.
I was listening to you the whole time.
Yeah, but that was, I thought that was
engaged.
I think that pretty much summed it up pretty nicely.
No, that's fine.
Know, Taylor Lewan.
I just want you to know that I remembered.
I appreciate it.
Taylor Lewan's dialed. That's some good content.
It would take him 2 weeks to get back into playing shape, too, if Vrabel called them and said, hey, we need you for a game.
All right, we'll crosstalk with the fan after dark, see what Fred and Blake have cooking with you next in the nation. Thank you, Lucius. 214 says, any talks of Todd Monken or Joe Brady? I like the Joe Brady angle. Is that possible? Get an offensive line
in here? I've got a mission, and I got to watch some college players, and I've got to be on the phone till about 1 in the morning talking to folks.
Well, tune in tomorrow, 3:40, Krusty's Corner. Brian's going to unload all the details that he has on what he's hearing about this coaching search.
Hopefully.
And John Machota is going to join us at 5:20 tomorrow from The Athletic. As we chat now with the guys from the Fan After Dark, Fred and Blake, and a good evening, gentlemen. How the heck are you?
Feeling blessed. Another day on the radio after a Sunday off, a day to relax and reset after some great football. So happy to talk sports with you guys. I've been sitting in my bed just pondering what I'm going to say on the radio. Then we got the news this morning that some would be elated with, some maybe undecided, of Mike McCarthy being gone. So it should fuel the rest of our show.
How about you guys? Does this make you happy? You think the Cowboys did the right thing?
I know how Blake has been feeling, and this is step one of a three-part plan.
I'm curious about what Blake
thinks. I'm curious about what Blake's thinking. Yeah,
of getting the Cowboys back to relevancy, and not just in dollars, but by winning. And step one has been completed. McCarthy is gone. And if you said, Blake, well, what's the perfect plan? I'm not a general manager, so I don't know. That plan is still in fruition. And who the next head coach will be, I'm going to wait for Krusty's Corner tomorrow. You have the great insight from Brian Broaddus.
I'll give it a go.
But I do know this, that while you got some stability with Mike McCarthy, just being right in the middle is honestly the worst place you can be in the NFL. So I'm glad that Jerry, maybe reluctantly, maybe not his own choice, but took a step kind of in the dark. We don't know what the future holds. So I'm happy.
January 2nd, you did the midday show with young Alec Medford, mm-hmm. and you had resolutions for the teams. And the Cowboys' resolution that you had was don't be afraid to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're playing it too safe.
Correct.
Hopefully they take a swing for the fences here starting very soon on this Cowboys.
That's all I asked for.
Who are you hoping for?
That's a great question, and I don't really know what route I want them to go, because as much as I want them to bring in kind of a young-minded kind of offensive guru, we just know that's not the Cowboys' MO. They usually are bringing in someone that has some kind of deeper connection, some kind of deeper ties. So for me, I mean, I guess a Ben Johnson would be great, but that's not really in the realm of possibilities of where the Dallas Cowboys stand. I'm hearing Jason Witten's name come up. I'm hearing Kellen Moore's name come up. Neither of those names. That's a full check. Neither of those names really excite me, but
why the hell not, Blake?
Aren't you excitable?
Those names don't do them for me.
What's wrong with those names, Blake?
More of a Pete Carroll guy?
No, none of those guys. Honestly, I mean, retreads are great and all for comfortability, but kind of what you Gavin said in my resolution, I don't want comfortability. Taking a shot in the dark, maybe a college coach.
See, this is where I think I told you guys this, where my son Bennett told me about coaches. He goes, you want your head coach to be wearing joggers and your defensive coordinator be an old, crusty dude.
Yeah, in a perfect world, absolutely. Yeah.
Let's get Marcus Freeman.
Yeah. You want your head coach being like the young dude, mm-hmm. and your defensive coordinator being the old
dude. I'm with it. Is there any, I'll say this. I don't know if this is.
And keep Zim around.
Where has this been with the defensive coordinator? But with McCarthy being gone, is this a just dominoes fall, everyone else is gone, or we have to wait to be determined?
They're all out.
They're all done. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. We got to fill the whole staff.
Yeah. Fred Davis over here, I believe, entering his banking information for an online sports book to get in on this wild card game.
That's right. We're making picks over here.
Shout out Prize Picks.
You playing catch up from a tough weekend?
No, I didn't make any picks this weekend.
No.
Blake,
what did you think about your Texans?
I cashed out.
What
did you think about the Texans?
Man, I tell you what, they look good.
Or did surprising? Justin Herbert just look bad?
I tell you what, defensively, I guess it was Justin Herbert isn't he kind of like Dak-ish at this point, right? I mean,
sure. as far as it.
He's never been as good.
Yeah. As what, Dak? Well, yeah. I mean, I guess depending upon who you talk to. But, you know, look, the Chargers charged this weekend. I was actually kind of impressed with the Texans as far as what they wrote it. Because, look,
defense travel to Kansas City.
Ooh.
We played there week 11, right? Something like that.
They played week 11, week 12. It was 27-19 was the score in that game. I want to say, you know, you had D-Hop back. I'm not worried about it, though.
Okay.
I'm not worried about it. Look, are they going to come out guns blazing? Absolutely. I mean, how they jumped out to, what, a 24-0 lead back in 2019. We all saw how that turned out. I know everybody. I guess my question for you would be, are you, you know, everybody keeps talking about this rest. Oh, they haven't played in 3 weeks. Mm. They haven't played in 3 weeks.
I mean, you know,
I think they'll be fine.
Are we worried about Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes? I mean, I'm not.
He plays the preseason game so he can rest at the end of the year.
Should the Cowboys try and poach Spags?
Ooh. Look, he's getting a lot of love right now.
He's getting interviews.
The Jets, the Jags, the Raiders all interviewed him. The question I would ask is, you know, what is he, in his mid-60s at this point, right? And the last time we saw him as a head coach, he was terrible. Right. Well, no, not saying there's anything wrong with that.
He was bad. He was really bad.
He was horrible. Right. So, you know, but I guess, you know, having spent, 10 years as the Chiefs D coordinator, I mean, has he learned a thing or two?
Dan Quinn-esque.
You figure but Dan Quinn had pelts on the wall before he got to the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Right. Spags was a disaster in St. Louis. So
we are off and running. The Rangers hot stove with Sands coming up at the top of the hour. Fan After Dark 8 to 11. Steve on Twitter says it was just posted Sark's buyout is only $6 million to hire him. If he's fired, the buyout's $54 million. Something to chew on. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control. Thanks to Wolchuk and Chiafalo and Brian Broadus. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. Addies.